Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the epistle lesson, as you have heard read from the 6th chapter of Romans, and our theme this morning, our Lord's baptism and yours. Please be seated. My dearest baptized brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it was August 1988, and an elderly woman from the state up north decides that she wants to send a letter to every Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, describing to them that their practice of infant baptism and baptism in general was wrong, that they were in error and they should repent of their sin. She believed that the Lutheran doctrine of baptism actually endangered the salvation of the members of every Missouri Synod congregation. She did not believe in baptismal regeneration. Sadly, at one time, this elderly woman was a Missouri Synod Lutheran, but she subsequently left the church. And when I say she left the church, she actually left the church. Now, she's not the only person who has not, or who at present time, doesn't fully understand the meaning and significance of holy baptism. Many Christians today consider baptism a mere ceremony, something which they can leave either done or undone. It just doesn't matter. And if I do it, that's just I'm doing it, and that's all that it is. Many oppose infant baptism and claim that only adults must be baptized. Even many who support infant baptism actually don't attach too much importance to it. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, the Wittenberg Reformer held and taught that baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe in Christ Jesus. Luther held that baptism, as does Scripture, that baptism saves us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3. Isn't it interesting? This lady didn't believe in baptismal regeneration, but God does. I think I'll believe God and follow what He says. Dear friends, we know from Matthew chapter 28 the injunction that Jesus has given to His church, that we are to baptize and that we are to teach, and that we are to baptize and teach all nations, and that includes little children, even infants. If it should be baptized by the fact that Jesus Himself says that little children, the Greek word is infant, should be brought to Him so that He can bless them, so that He can bless them. For of such belongs the kingdom of God, the very words of our Lord. Babies and small children do have faith, by the way. Otherwise, Jesus would not have warned us that causing a little one to sin would be better for a great millstone be tied around one's neck and that person be cast into the sea. Jesus is very concerned about the infant and about the small child and their faith. The truth is that holy baptism is a blessed sacrament, a means of grace, which is of great importance and is to be remembered and utilized as long as a baptized Christian lives here upon this earth. So our text today from the 6th chapter of Romans is a reminder to you and also to me the value of our baptism as we recall today our Lord's baptism and yours. My dear brothers and sisters, when a person is baptized, there is a miracle. There is a remarkable miracle that is worked right here at the font. Baptism is just not a time to bestow a name or to dedicate a child to God. In baptism, God accomplishes a great work, a great miracle. We hear, a person who is born dead in trespasses and sin and by nature an enemy of God is spiritually born again, freely given newness of life. So as you heard with your children are actually put to death right here. This is a place of death, but it's also a place of eternal life. For they are put to death with their Lord Jesus, and then he raises them by a great miracle instantaneously and gives them newness of life, spiritual life, eternal life. And not only that, he writes his name upon their heart, and he has written his name upon your heart. When a person is properly baptized into Christ Jesus, that person, yes, is immersed into the Lord's death. No less than three times in our text today, Paul stresses that truth, that a Christian is baptized into Jesus' death. This being baptized into Christ's death involves being set free from the effects of sin, death, and hell itself, which is eternal condemnation. By his death upon the cross, Jesus became the sinner's replacement. He became your substitute. In his baptism, what Jesus did for you, dear one, was to take all of your sin, all sins that you have committed, all sins that you will commit, even the sins that you're committing now, and he put them onto his shoulders. They were poured onto him. And that's all of your sin, and there's no exception. He then took all of your sins and carried them the 3.5 years that he was here on this earth, and he carried them to his bloody cross. And there he paid for your sins. This is what his ministry was for. The 3.5 years that he walked throughout Israel and Cana and Samaria and all the parts of the Middle East there, he was carrying your sins and he was carrying my sins. And it culminated, and it ended right here. This was the culmination point. This is where Jesus said, "It is finished. Your sin has been paid for." So as water is poured onto you, by the power of his word, his righteousness is poured into you. Yes, baptism saves you by giving you a free gift of eternal life. You see how it works? His baptism, your sins poured onto him. Your baptism, his righteousness poured into you. For some people, this is very hard to understand. But for us Christians, we understand it fully because this is the work of the Lord. So when you are baptized, dear one, you become a partaker of his life, not your life, his life. Christ died for all of your sins and then raised you in his justification and gave you a justified spirit. In and through baptism, you enter into an intimate relationship with the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. By virtue of the fact that Jesus rose on the third day, he who once was dead now has life and will have it forever and ever, as we hear in our text. And that very life, his very life, given to you freely, Here at this font. This is one of the great truths of God's Word, which is revealed through us through St. Paul, which he outlined for us. Paul writes to us and says, we are members of his body, Ephesians chapter 5. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, Philippians chapter 1. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, Colossians chapter 3. So, dear one, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you joined with Christ Jesus in the fight against sin. Dear ones, when Jesus walked into the Jordan River, Jesus was walking into war. He was taking God's standard, and he was confronting Satan, and he was telling Satan, your time is up. The battle has been joined, and here am I. I am the valiant one. I am the prince, and I will defeat you. And Jesus defeated the evil one there in the water as sin was being poured onto him. He took that sin and died on the cross, and here he defeated Satan. Death defeats death. Death defeats hell. The world can't understand this, but God's way is God's way. And that's clearly what his word tells us. Therefore, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 4. And then also verse 6. We know, dear ones, in here, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. When Jesus proclaimed, it is finished, the shackles fell off. When you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the shackles fell off. You were given newness of life. You are free, dear one. You are free indeed, for the Son has set you free. Therefore, every Christian has an obligation to continue to come to this place, and also the obligation to continue to confess your sins, not only here before his altar, but every day of your life, to sacrifice yourself, to sacrifice that indwelling sin to him, and to confess that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, and that Jesus has saved you here at the cross, and that you are his baptized child, and you have power over sin, death, and devil. Paul found this in his own experience, that a man's sinful nature had to be subdued, had to be controlled, and that fight of faith was a daily one in which the Christian's baptism would be, could be, dear one, must be utilized. With that, I'm going to ask you to help me out now. On the very back of your bulletin, on the back cover below the prayer, you'll see some highlighted text. That's from Luther's Small Catechism, part 4 of baptism. And I'll read the bold text, and you read that text that is highlighted. Most of you know this by heart, but this text is so important for us. Let's do this together. What does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies. Where is this written? Dearest one, all things that you need for your eternal happiness has been given to you here at the font. It is, however, true that that we can lose everything. My prayer for each and every one of you is that your baptism will hold you fast to the grace of God, which He has extended to you in the waters of holy baptism. You are encouraged to lead a godly life, to repent of your sins, and to seek His forgiveness, and He will forgive you. That is His promise. In His forgiveness, you will not fall from your baptismal grace. Therefore, lastly, hold fast, my dear brother and sister, hold fast. You are a baptized child of God to that which you have been given, so that you may not lose the crown of life, the crown which your Lord Himself will place upon your head, so that you can now live with Him forever and ever. Now you see the importance of His baptism and your baptism. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Yeah.